I already tipped you off that the General Assembly was going to start meeting on Saturday in Detroit. A lot of things on the agenda. And I thought this would be a good Sunday at Pentecost, really, not only to mention something about the General Assembly, but about the church, about life itself. Because I've learned one thing. In 51 years of professional ministry, not too much changes year by year. Not too much at all. And people still have their own quirks and their own ideas and their own attitudes that you're not going to change. And it's always more evident in the Presbyterian family than anywhere else. It's true. Presbyterians love to argue and bicker. Don't you? It's a natural thing. We like to fuss. And fuss and fume is already going on before the General Assembly starts. Oh, Lord, yes. And this past week, I talked to several of the brethren. And we don't see eye to eye on too much of anything in terms of society itself. And I got to think, you know, we've got to deal with this in the life of a church. We've got to deal with it. We've got to deal with a lot of things because we have fussed and fumed over the years. And the Presbyterian family then breaks apart. Way back, a group of Presbyterians said we weren't doing enough for mission. And they got mad. So they started their own church, Christian and Missionary Alliance. Okay. Then later on, we got fussing over property. Who owns it? Presbytery said they did, and the church said we do. We paid for it. It's our money. And so the PCA was born. And the other argument was the General Assembly's too big. We need to break it down. Okay. So they did when they got on their own. And now they have a General Assembly with two or three people and a part-time secretary. And if you ask them denominationally, how many churches do you have? They say, we don't know. We don't keep count. How many ministers do you have? We don't know. We don't keep count. How many are retired? We don't know. We don't keep count. We keep count. We do. Well, that's what they fussed about. Then we fussed about ordaining women. Women should not be in the pulpit. Women should not be elders. Women should not be deacons. Women should have no responsibility in the church except in the kitchen. That upset Ted a lot. We fussed. They broke. And there are still Presbyterian churches that won't have women do absolutely anything at all. Anything at all. Even teach Sunday school. That's a man's job. Then we come down to the big issue of the day, the gay marriage thing that the Supreme Court's already dealt with, that counties are dealing with, and ministers are just getting all bent out of shape about. What are we going to do? I don't think we're going to have a real flock of marriages. I don't. And the other thing is, the minister still is the one who decides who he's going to marry or she is going to marry. And some churches have a policy that only members of the church will be those that the minister will consider to be married. Okay? I know some people I've married over the years that I wish I hadn't. Because they were members of the church, too. But that's all right. It's all right. Got fuss about something. Then they're going to fuss about some other things that always are there. And I love it. The most recent group called the ECO that's pulled away from the denomination, they've pulled away, but they said they still like to keep part of their... Well, they'd like to be a part of... We'd still like to keep the Board of Pensions if it's all right with you. Security. There's another group within the church now that's generating, and I've had the call about that. It's called the Fellowship of Presbyterians. It stays within the church to keep the church pure. Dear friends, I want to tell you, I've never seen a pure church yet. Even if they fake it. The lesson that we're reading this morning from Corinthians is not the story of Pentecost, because Pentecost had already happened by the time this was written by Paul to the Corinthian Christians. People always like to be somewhere where it's right. But Paul wanted to show that the healthiest part of Christianity was a variety of things that make the church. A variety of thinking, a variety of talents, a variety of abilities, a variety of beliefs. Not saying that you have to agree with everybody on everything. But saying that the best part of the church is having the variety of gifts that you all bring, and bringing them together, not getting bogged down on the details. And that's what chokes us. It really does. Open your Bibles. This lesson from 1 Corinthians is a good lesson because it leads us not only into Pentecost, but it's going to lead us into communion. I'm convinced of that. The 12th chapter, we're going to read verses 3 through 13. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Paul is dealing with something that has always occurred. Always occurred. The issue of territory and separation. And the church, regardless of its name on the door, has never been ever been immune from division. The point Paul's making is no single person or group has a patent on their gifts or their beliefs or their use of the one Spirit that still works through people. Because it's the same Spirit that empowers everyone, even the ones who are different. The same Spirit. Verse 3 is thought to be the earliest creed that affects the church. Look at that if you would. I tell you, no one is speaking by the Spirit of God, said Jesus, be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is Lord. Period. We're all here because Jesus is head of our table. He's the head of our church. He's the head of our lives together, and He welcomes us to gather in His name. Recall, if you will, the story of that first Pentecost. The Spirit came in a violent wind and tongues of fire. Tongues of fire. Settling on the heads of every single believer. And everyone was so moved. They spoke in different tongues, it says. And everybody knew what they were saying. It's still the same way. In different tongues, different opinions, different attitudes. That makes a healthy faith. When Barbara and I were driving down this morning, we were talking about what causes division. And I said the same old thing, and it's the same old thing over and over again. It's bigotry and money. It's that simple. And if you put them two together, bigotry and money form politics. Because that's what the church has split over. Time and time again. Money and power. Power and money. It is. And if it's convenient to insert your own particular prejudice, that's even better. Here begins Paul's teaching about different tongues and the same Spirit. Different attitudes in the same Spirit. Different opinions in the same Spirit. I can remember one of my favorite teachers when I was in college, and she, Lois Latham, was a character and a half. But she always said, I may not agree with what you say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. If we could all say this more clearly and more honestly and more openly, how healthy indeed our nation and our world and our churches would be. I'm convinced of that, and this is what Paul is dealing with here. The surprise, you see, is how varied our gifts are when Paul starts listing them here, and yet all are there because of one Spirit. One Spirit. The Holy Spirit not only calls us to the table, the Holy Spirit calls us to the pew, the Holy Spirit calls us to life, the Holy Spirit calls us to do and be things that we never thought we could do or be. And Lord, I'm looking at a lifetime of do and be, and I start recalling too much history. Because the Spirit has some very interesting things that happens during that journey to change your attitude and to change your whole life. And that's the truth. I want you to look around you in this sanctuary this morning. Look around you. Just look around now. This is a good cross-section of people. You're going to see some people. Some are teachers, some are elders, some are professional people, some are retired, many are retired. Some are Democrats and some are Republicans. Some aren't sure of either one. Some are preparers of food and some are eaters of food. Oh. Don't talk about that. Some are anonymous givers to bless the lives of other people, either by saying something or sharing something. Some of us are God's children, all of us are. Because some of us are just quiet observers in worship. You know, God chooses each one of us for our special gifts. I can think of how many of you have said to me at one time or another, well, I don't know what God wants me to do, but I'll just do this, and maybe that'll help. Didn't you say that? Didn't you say that? Didn't you say that? Maybe God expects me to, and you've said it. Oh, I wish I knew what God wanted me to do. Maybe that is what God wants you to do, wish and hope. You know, when Christ was at that table, those disciples hadn't the foggiest idea of what in the world was going to happen, even though he'd been telling them for weeks and years. Went in one ear and out the other. And that particular night, they didn't know. They didn't know for weeks or months afterward. What was their job? What are they going to do? What was going to happen? They didn't know. They didn't know. That story of Pentecost is one that still boggles the imagination because something happened that grabbed them and made them so excited that they knew then and there that one Spirit is going to change the world. Now think of where the disciples went. I want you to think about it. Where did they go? They went into the known world of the Roman Empire, and they went in and they did their thing. And there was a difference. There's a difference on those who are Coptic Christians in Egypt from the teachings of Thomas, the disciple. There's a difference in attitude in Rome toward the Roman Catholic Church because of Peter and because of politics. Never, ever, ever write off politics. There's a difference in terms of Greece. There's a difference in terms of what happened in the United States of America when the first missionaries came over here with churches to start and to dream. Think of John Wesley and came as an Anglican clergyman to Georgia. Of course, there's not much hope for Georgia. But anyway, there we have a case in point. I'm going to serve the Lord, but it has to be a different tone. And he was kicked out of the Church of England. I saw the church in Oxford where he was run out because he was a heretic. Same Spirit. The same Spirit. That's what we're here for. How many of you are different than the person next to you? Come on. Husbands and wives are different. So you have to say we are different. How many of you are different than the person behind you? How many of you are different than your kids? Yeah. How many of you are different than your dogs or cats? I hope so. You're different. You're different. And how grand that is in God's great design. Now, Joan's going to help me, and so is Ann, with communion. Now, we're going to do something that really made an impact on Presbyterians, if anything could ever make an impact on Presbyterians. I like to think this is something like you do at church camp or conference, but this is not going to be new to you. All you're going to do is follow directions. And I think that's safe, don't you? Pray with me before we start. God, our Father, we're grateful that you've given us Pentecost because we can still lovingly hope that your Spirit will touch us and move us and excite in us the Christ of life. Amen.